We've all experienced curiosity before, but how can curiosity help us overcome judgment of other people and grow into the best versions of ourselves? We also all have paradigms and worldviews that we carry with us into any situation, but how do these belief systems help us improve our mental health? Human beings are innately interested in the afterlife, paranormal experiences, spirits, ghosts, and everything in between. But what does it mean to hold a religious belief and a paranormal one? Hey y'all, I'm Reese, and welcome to Making Meaning. This week on Making Meaning, I am joined by Tommy Oakley. Tommy is a real estate developer in affordable housing and a very good friend of mine. He has such a passion for podcasts, and when we first started chatting about the fact that I have a podcast, it seemed like a natural fit to have him on, and I am so glad that I did. Not only is Tommy truly a kind soul, he is also a very well-rounded one who has an appreciation for art, nature, and other people's opinions and experiences all around him. A brief content warning before hopping into the episode. Right at the end, Tommy and I discuss mental health, and that leads into a conversation around suicidal ideation. If that's upsetting to you, I would recommend hopping off around the 50-minute mark of this episode. That is all I have before we hop into it. So as always, let's take a deep breath. And get started. Tommy, first and foremost, thank you so much for joining me, for agreeing to do this, and the time and energy. I appreciate it.
Of course, Reese, thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
First question I always start with is just one: what is something you're grateful for?
Well, today, I mean, I would say I'm grateful to be 25. Yesterday was my birthday, so we're... Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Why
so
didn't I
much.
Know that? Oh my gosh, I feel horrible.
I'm not too open about it. I didn't tell many people, but
happy birthday.
Thank you so much. Yeah. So, you know, that's exciting. It's always good to live one more year on this earth.
And totally. I feel like the obligatory follow-up is, do you feel any older? Which is such a silly question, but 25 is actually kind of a quarter life.
Exactly.
Marker. How does that feel?
So I actually had that exact conversation with my parents and my brother yesterday. Because I said, I'm 25, which by any means is an adult.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
At that age, I don't know, you can rent a car, you can do everything. But I still feel mentally like 18 in many ways.
Yeah.
And physically, yeah, you don't really feel any changes. It's just, it's odd. It's
yeah.
odd feeling like when you were... teenager, like thinking about your late 20s, thinking to be totally different, but that's not necessarily
yeah.
the case. And so,
yeah,
it's a little bit of a, not a quarter life crisis, but just some reflection.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, and I do think there's like an uncanniness to that feeling where I agree, where it's like in a lot of ways, it does feel like, oh, I could wake up and be 17 and feel very similarly.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you look back on the last 5, 6, 7 years and you are a very different person. And like the things you've done are very different. But also there's probably so many ways that you're similar.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. That's very true. I mean, you're obviously way more wise. You've gone
right.
through more experiences.
Right.
You've gone through, you know, school, work life. But at the same time, you have the same curiosities, you have the same
yeah.
enjoyments. I listen to the same music I did back then. I mean,
yeah.
And I love music, so it's weird. You feel the same, but you know, you just...
Yeah.
You're wiser, I guess. That's
yeah.
the best way to put it.
Yeah.
yeah.
I love
yeah.
that. So, second question.
Mm-hmm.
What is your story? Which is a big question, but whatever you feel called to talk about is perfect.
Okay. There's a couple ways you can answer that, yeah.
Mm-hmm,
and I,
mm-hmm.
you know, don't want to take up all the time here.
It is your time. Take
I'll
it up
just,
with whatever
you know,
you'd
I'll
like.
Just give it just a background about where I'm from, because I think that's a big part of who I am.
Absolutely.
I think everyone has their roots. I'm from Colorado originally, so I grew up in a really small town there called Grand Junction. It's about 50,000 people, and you knew everyone. You knew everyone you went to school with. You knew all your neighbors. you know, if something happened to you, basically the whole town knew.
Yeah.
But it's funny. And so I grew up there and grew up outdoors a lot and, you know, hiking, fishing, skiing, all mm-hmm. of that. And then, you know, did that all through high school and then came down to Dallas for college. And so in college, you know, there was a discovery period, I think, where I didn't really know what I wanted to do, you know, combined with the fact that I was just a fish out of water in this yeah. huge city, learning like traffic, city traffic. That was one yeah. thing that just killed me at first. And it was, you know, a combination of that and just trying to figure out what I wanted to do that led me in college to, you know, go through school there. I went to business school at SMU and then graduated. And now I work in a real estate firm that it's an investment manager and a residential rental developer. Mm-hmm. And so what I do there is I'm on the capital raising team. So we're always, you know, doing a lot of work with investors. You know, we're traveling, we're doing a lot of the stuff you do in school, like, you know, PowerPoints, Excel, yeah. all that fun stuff. And, you know, it does have its long hours at times, but, mm-hmm. It's something that I enjoy doing and something that I could, you know, see myself doing long term.
Yeah. So
I think at this point in my life, that's kind of, you know, I'm at a good spot, I would say. Yeah.
I love that. I think one thing that's sticking out to me about both your answer to the first question and in your story is this theme of curiosity. Because you were talking about how, you know, in some ways you're very much similar to who you were at 18 and you have the same curiosity then as you do now. And in talking about like leaving a small town to come to a big city and not just like a bigger city where not everyone knows each other, but one of the biggest cities
in
our nation. Well, and like Dallas traffic is just unlike any other. It truly is.
It's terrible.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
And I think that takes, one, courage and bravery, but also a certain amount of curiosity to be like, what is that like?
Yeah.
What is that experience? What am I going to be like there?
Mm-hmm.
But also with you talking about, like, travel and wanting to keep doing these different things and mm-hmm. potentially using your job as an avenue for that, what has curiosity meant to you over this kind of course of your life, or what does it mean now?
I think that's a great question. I think curiosity, at least for me, has been the biggest driver for change in my life. I think a big part, like what I talked about, growing up in a small town, there's so much you don't experience.
Mm.
But there is, on the flip side, there's a lot you do experience that maybe you wouldn't necessarily get in a big city. But
yeah.
It was just that drive to go into, you know, a big city where there's plenty of things to explore, learn about. That's what really drove me out of, you know, not just the city, but the state, because I also wanted to come to Texas. I was the
yeah.
first person in my family to come down here. Really no connections down here. So it was scary, but, you know, looking back, I'm so glad I did it. I'm so glad that things turned out the way they did, because I would say, you know, if I stayed back home, it would have been a completely different story, different
life. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then what motivated you to stay here? I feel like that is a common thing for people to go away for college and then find their people, find their place, and kind of plant roots down there. But yeah, why stay? Because you very easily could have been like, cool, I had this experience, did
yeah.
it, and I'm going back. Or I'm going someplace else.
Yeah. I think there's a couple reasons. I think mainly it's the people.
Mm.
I think, you know, just forming that friend group down here and which school gives you that friend group.
Yeah.
And it's also, you know, I did think about moving back after graduation, but Dallas is a great, great market. It's a great place to live.
Yeah.
It's consistently ranked, you know, in the nation, some of the safest and best schools. And it's just, you know, all those factors that, you know, you just kind of feel at home here after a while. And
yeah.
I think that hit me hard, especially living here after school. So I don't really see a need to leave
yeah.
at this point. Yeah.
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 Well, and I think curiosity, so often I think the easy answer to curiosity is go someplace else
mm-hmm.
when it's actually so much bigger than that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it's like, how can you find those little curiosities throughout your day, even if you're in the same room?
Yeah.
Right? It's like you can still find those things.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's also, it's curiosity, but it's also pushing yourself to try new things and just pushing your boundaries.
Yeah.
And being uncomfortable.
Well, and you also said that curiosity is the biggest driver of change and like pushing your boundaries, letting yourself be uncomfortable. Why is that important to you? Not that I disagree.
I just want to hear more.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's a good question too. I think in many ways it's what makes life worth living. I think pushing yourself, at least for me, when I'm comfortable, I kind of get sad. You know, you get into a lull state where you're just not much is happening and you're just not challenging yourself. And, you know, over time that can just be not good, I feel like, mentally.
Yeah.
So, oh, it doesn't, you know, there's a lot of ways you can push yourself. But I think if, you know, you have something like a hobby or, you know, if you're teaching yourself an instrument or even learning on YouTube or like that, you can, I mean, just expanding your horizons. I think that is like, there's something that just initiates in your brain and it just makes you just, you know, appreciative and just makes you a better, well-rounded person, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned playing an instrument and earlier you mentioned music being something that you're really passionate about.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that. What is music? Yeah. What role does music play in your life?
So I've always loved music. My brothers gave me a hard time growing up just because I always loved old music.
Mm.
I started out, you know, in middle school listening to like only 60s music or 70s music.
Which is lame back then, but now it's really cool.
Now it's, now it's in style, yeah.
Right.
So, lucky for me, but I loved music to the point where I would just, you know, always have my earbuds in, my old iPod, just listening. And then it got to the point where I wanted to learn myself, so I bought myself a keyboard. On YouTube, I taught myself where to place my fingers and taught myself songs. I taught myself how to play piano by myself.
I did not know you taught yourself to play piano.
Yeah, and that's... I still practice as much as I can. And it's something I, you know, it's one of those hobbies that's always in the back corner of my life. And, you know, when times get busy, I'm not necessarily playing as much. But,
sure.
But it's a great release. It's a great, you know, stress reliever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love it. I think that's one of those things, kind of what I was talking about, that you should always be pushing yourself.
Yeah.
Even if it's not, you know, it has nothing to do with, you know, my job or you know, what I went to school for. But
sure.
At the same time, it's, you know, something that I love to do on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think so often we do get in our heads that everything has to be about the one thing, right, that is the passion or the dream or the goal. But it's like life is much more complicated and nuanced than that.
Yeah.
That it's like there's all sorts of different things that contribute to a well-rounded, fulfilled life. And
yeah,
a lot of that, I think different people have different takes on, like, why is a job important? Should a job be about passion? Should a job be about money? Is there a way to do both? Like, who's to say? I think that's your own individual call to make.
Yeah.
But I think being able to live this varied life with, like, have this job that I am excited about that does bring me joy, but also I want to teach myself how to do something else, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So also, one thing that I am very impressed by is that you taught yourself how to play. I think most people, even adults, you know, it's like they want to do something. It's like, okay, I'm going to go take a class for it, or I'm going to hire someone to teach me how to do this. Why teach yourself instead of...
That's a great question, because that's the same thing my parents always told me. They say, you can take lessons. You can actually learn how to play piano. But I never wanted to, because I thought I wouldn't be able to truly play what I wanted to play if that was the case, instead of me playing, you know, classical music where I wanted to learn the new songs that are coming out, the songs that I like to listen to. And so I didn't want to give up that creativity and freedom factor.
Yeah.
And so that's why, you know, to this day I cannot point to what note an A is on the piano or
sure.
C, but but I can play, you know, probably 20 songs, maybe 20 plus songs. So
that's crazy.
It's just one of those things. I just, for me, it's just so freeing, and I wouldn't want to, I also wouldn't want to make it be homework that I'd have to teach myself and learn this in front of the next lesson. Because as soon as you make something, you know, add structure to it and add deadlines, I feel like you kind of take away some of the enjoyment of it.
Well, and that is why a lot of people are like, well, I don't want to do this as a job, because as soon as I have a boss or I'm getting paid to do it, it's no longer the thing I love, right?
Yeah.
I have to share. So when I was younger, my first like dream was that I wanted to be a pop star. I was like, this is gonna happen, it's gonna be the thing. Could I sing at all as like a 7-year-old? No. Did I know how to play any instrument? Absolutely not. So my parents were like, we'll get you a guitar and we'll get you guitar lessons.
Yeah.
I was like, love it. Started going to guitar lessons. Second guitar lesson, I walk in and I ask the instructor, I'm like, okay, I really love this Boston song more than a feeling. And I want to learn the guitar riff, which is the like classic one that, you know, is the one that you're thinking of. It's that one.
Yeah.
And my guitar teacher was like, no, that's not in the lesson plan for today.
Yeah.
You need to refine Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Yeah.
And so I quit.
Okay, yeah.
Which is like, in hindsight, I don't think that I'm a person who is a quitter.
Yeah.
But I think that, and like, it's funny to joke about like, oh, I didn't get to do what I want, so I quit. But I do think that there's something to exactly what you were just saying with like, taking the creativity out of something that was like, I'm not doing this to be proficient at guitar.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this to be able to point at what keys are on a piano.
Yeah.
I'm doing this to get lost in it.
Exactly.
And to enjoy
exactly. it. And that's the whole point, is that, you know, you're not trying to perform for anyone, you're just performing for yourself. And I feel like if you can, you know, have some sort of outlet, whether that's music or writing or painting, I think, you know, everyone should have an art outlet, is what I think, regardless of what you do or what you're passionate about work-wise.
Okay. Yeah. So two follow-up questions there, which feel free to answer in tandem or not. But one, why art specifically? Why is it art that helps people with that? And two, how would you even define art then? Because I think a lot of people, like, it's very easy to look at art and say, like, oh, it's painting, it's drawing, it's music, it's, like, the fine arts, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Then you could also say, well, there's an art in mowing the lawn, right? Like, that could be artful for someone.
Yeah,
so
true.
Why art, and what are the parameters that you would put on art?
That's an excellent question, because, mowing the lawn could be an art. I'm sure people have done that before. I mean, you can cut it a certain way. And I've seen people even who are cutting bushes can make that an art.
Yeah.
I just think there's something about expressing yourself that I think really only art can do. And that's, with expressing yourself, there's some factor of creation in that, where you're creating a product, whether that's a song or, you know, a sculpture or a painting, a photography, something like that. And there's just that aspect that you're just, you know, creating something that you wouldn't otherwise would, or, you know, at work, or, you know, something like that. At least that's how I view it. And by creating something, you're kind of releasing some internalized feelings that maybe you can release other ways.
Yeah.
But at least that's just how I think about it.
Totally. You know? I think it's interesting to think about. It's almost a dichotomy, but I think it makes a lot of sense in the way you're talking about it, that it's both expressing something that exists within you, but it is also creating something new. So it is like both generative, but also like reflective of something that's already there.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. But I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I do not want to put words in your mouth. One of the things that I think is so powerful about what you're saying too is that it's like, certain, you can't put words to certain things, right? Like, even in you trying to describe it, and it's like, well, it's just this, it's this thing where it's like creating something new and something you wouldn't normally do, and it's just like cathartic. It's hard to literally just even put that into words of that experience, but we all know what that is.
That's right.
And so if you can't put it into words, put it in a song.
Yeah,
put it into,
that's right.
Paint, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. It's just, it's a way of expressing yourself that's not talking or I don't think you could put a label on art, but it's just, you know, it's whatever you want to make it.
Yeah, no, I love that. So also you mentioned kind of in your art and expression, it's music, and you said that your brothers kind of gave you a hard time about liking oldies and that kind of stuff. Talk to me a little bit more about growing up. So you said you spent a lot of time outdoors, which I think is also very much like spending time in nature does a similar thing that art does too. Like there's something connected there. And had like a very like physical but also nature-oriented childhood. Talk to me more about that and how you think it's... You use the word roots. Everyone has their roots.
Yeah, no, that's
so
true.
So talk to me about your roots. What do those actually look like?
So I think there are a couple ways. So I'm from Colorado, so obviously nature is a huge part of my background.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up, you know, 30 minutes from a ski resort. I grew up an hour from some of, you know, the best hiking, biking, and probably the nation, I would say.
If not the world.
If not the world, yeah. So that was such a big part of growing up, is just having the outdoors right there.
Yeah.
And there is something very, very cathartic and releasing of just going out camping, you know, even if it's solo, and just being able to go back to, I don't know, just complete peace.
Mm.
I think there's something, and not to say that you can't find that down here, I think you can find it anywhere, but... there's just something about that, and it's always a piece of me. I think it shapes my interests. I think it shapes my music tastes. I think it shapes my thoughts, certainly. So I think just having that outdoor, you know, backdrop has been a huge impact in my life.
I love the use of the word backdrop. Like, because that's... me being a theater kid, immediately I go to, like, the backdrop on a stage, right?
Yeah.
But... to use it as an analogy, like the backdrop on a stage informs so much of what is going on, and it tells the audience about like the tone of the scene and the vibe and the emotions and all of that. And so it's like to have nature as that backdrop and use the word peace. and I agree with you that like it is something that you can find anywhere, you can find within yourself.
Yeah.
But having nature as the backdrop, it's probably easier to go into nature and access it, right? Yeah. Like, it removes some of the distraction there.
Yeah.
But I do want to make sure that we talk about your 9-to-5, too, your desk job, because it's such a big part of our daily lives. So, business school.
Yeah.
And then real estate.
Yeah.
Talk to me about it.
Of course. So... I think with real estate, it's something I discovered while I was in business school at SMU. So, like I said, I had no idea what I wanted to do. But, you know, my dad was, he worked in finance. He was a financial advisor. And so he would always tell me, you know, go to business school. And so I was like, well,
you'll be okay.
And so I said, okay, I mean, I'm okay with numbers.
Yeah.
I have a general interest for it. So I went to business school, and that was one of the classes I took was real estate. And one of the things that drew it to me just generally was that, unlike, you know, other businesses, you know, finance or accounting, it just was something that I felt was really tangible.
Mm.
Like buildings, like, you know, everyone has a home or an apartment or,
you
know, even like libraries, you know, office buildings. I always just love the fact that you could, you know, create something, walk into it, you know, and just touch it, I guess. Where at least a lot of my friends and people I know and different business industries and finance, there's not that tangibility to it.
Right.
And I couldn't tell you what an option was or some of those, you know, Wall Street terms. So,
yeah.
You know, that just didn't really interest me.
Yeah.
So the company I work for, you know, they build apartment buildings, they build, you know, single family homes and they just, you know, they're focused on completely residential, like I said, which was really interesting to me too, because I just have a big interest in providing housing for people. That's obviously a huge problem in society today. So that's one of the things our company does, is we're building housing, we're building rental properties for people to live, to hopefully, you know, make housing a little more affordable.
I love that. That is really important.
Yeah.
I also totally understand the feeling of tangibility being important, because I do think one of the things that makes so many like common jobs today feel like disconnected is because you don't get that full circle feeling of like, ah, I've done something today. And you know, I was doing some research after, like, of course, seeing a TikTok, and I'm like, oh, I want to learn more about this. But about how, like, now we've started to manufacture, like, traditional experiences, like, the same way humans used to wake up with the sunrise. Now I have an alarm clock that turns the lights on slowly to mimic the actual sunrise, right?
That's right, yeah.
Like, we've found ways to artificially create the things that we know are good for us.
Mm-hmm.
Or like you have those pokey mats instead of walking barefoot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All of that stuff. And I think very much like similarly, a hard day's work of something that used to be like manual labor, it does something in your body. Like after you go to the gym and it's like, I did something.
That's right. Yeah.
I did something. And so I have to imagine that that's part of the tangibility too, where it's like you can walk into a house or an apartment building and say, I did something.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
I was part of this.
Yeah.
That's such a leading question.
Yeah, you're right. No, and you're exactly right. It's you can see, you can feel it. It's and the value that you've created there, not just for yourself, for the personal reasons like you mentioned, of the fulfillment, but just also for other people. I mean, it's very important because, like I said, everyone needs somewhere to live.
Yeah.
And
well,
so,
I gotta be honest. Anytime I hear real estate, of course my like flags are like, "Ooh, what kind of real estate are we talking about?" Right? Because
it's
like you don't know what you know. There's finance bro memes and all of that.
There's a lot to it. Yeah.
Why affordable housing? I totally agree with you that it's a really important issue that
it
needs
is
to be addressed, but I'd love to hear what that means to you.
It means a lot to me, because, well, for personal reasons, as someone who's, you know, lightly testing the housing market just because I would like to buy a home in the next 5 years.
Sure.
It's pretty impossible now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's just so expensive, homes are, and then you look at the alternative, you know, renting, which everyone, at least I know, my age has an apartment. That's also getting to the point where you can't, you know, you're spending so much of your income on rent that you have nothing else for food, groceries, or
right. Well, and you're
anything.
Spending so much on rent. How do you save up money to eventually buy?
Exactly.
And people are like, it's better to pay for a mortgage than to pay for rent. It's like, I don't even have a down payment.
Yeah,
like,
I can't even.
Yeah.
And the monthly payment would be, much that you wouldn't be able to buy anything else. So I think that's personally one of the reasons why I think, you know, affordable housing is just so important.
Yeah.
For you know, people our age, but also people who you know, maybe didn't save as much and they're later on in life and need somewhere to live. And then you look at the other side, you know, there's underrepresented communities who, you know, wouldn't have access to the same housing we do in Dallas, or where we live in Dallas. So there's sections like that where people just, you know, even if they did have more money, they couldn't find the right housing. So it's kind of a balance where you want to have enough housing for everyone, but at the same time, make sure everyone can afford to live there. Yeah,
totally. Well, and it's hard because everything at the end of the day, at least here, comes down to a business and making money.
Mm-hmm.
Like any good or service we participate in does have to like profit someone. But I think that there's something really personally intriguing to me about companies that are almost like, I don't know the inner workings of your company, but taking a cut in profits, not that it's not profitable or a good company, but it's like in trying to build affordable housing, I would imagine that it's not nearly as much as like a huge real estate conglomerate can like build up and like, right? But it's like the intention behind it is more important than that. And it's like, can we pay our employees? Are they doing well? Like, do they have good benefits? Like, are we doing all the things? Sure.
Yeah.
Because in America, everything runs on money. But to be able to have some balance there with serving other people.
Mm-hmm.
Still, I just find that really admirable.
Yeah, and it gives more meaning to it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make a like you said, a real estate conglomerate and make a lot of money, but you know, you go home at the end of the day and you have to look yourself in the mirror. And I mean, if that's the businessman you want to be, and if that's the business you want to run, I mean, that's
We all go home to an apartment or a house, and but it is just you looking in the mirror.
Yeah, that's right. You need to enjoy your work, and you know, and that's just not just real estate. That's everything.
Yeah.
You know, you want to have a positive impact and leave the world better than when you came here.
So that is has been the unifying thread between any interview, any podcast, anything within this work that I have done. The only thing that everyone has in common is that when we start talking about these things that mean something and matter and what purpose is, it always comes back to, well, you want to help other people.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? I don't have a good answer for it, except for, well, clearly it's human nature, but
I mean, I think you hit it on the head. It is human nature. I think, you know, we live in a society, and so you want to help each other and make sure everyone is, you know, living all right and isn't, you know, struggling to pay rent or groceries or anything. So,
yeah.
But I think it's also, it's just deep down, it's the right thing to do. Mm. And there's, I don't know how you would explain that, whether it's, you know, people have their religious reasons, people have, you know, their own moral compass, but it's the right thing to do. And when you do it, you feel fulfilled in that you're, it's reassuring, I would say too, that you're doing the right thing.
Reassuring, in that, like when you get that good feeling, it's reassuring to be like, I am doing the right thing. I am on a good path. Or reassuring in the sense that, like, people do good things. Humans are good. What, like, or D, none of the above, something else. What does the reassurance mean?
I think it's both, because especially nowadays, we can see how bad people can be.
Yeah.
Pretty much everywhere you turn. And so, yeah, I think there's a piece of it saying that there still is good in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can make a small contribution to that, then that makes me happy. But it's also, you know, just personally, like you said, it's when you feel that way, when you can actually, you know, make someone's life a little better, even if it's small, you know, I think it's just a vicious cycle, not a vicious cycle, but
the opposite of a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the saying? Kindness is contagious. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something, you know, I've always tried to do. And a lot of that came from the way I was raised. My parents were really strong on that belief that, you know, be kind because, you know, you never know what someone else is going through and gotta hear from each other. So
that brings another interesting question, which, again, no good answer for it, but I'd love your take. Comes a lot from the way you were raised. I think a lot of us, our moral compass and values and ethics are influenced by the way we were raised, the experiences we've gone through. Of course, it'd be impossible for those things not to impact you. But then that begs the question, nature over nurture. Mm-hmm. How much do you think that impulse for you to want to do good in the world is also just instinctual? You have brothers.
Yeah.
And I would have to imagine, I don't know them as well as you, but they have a similar drive to be good people and care. But in any way that y'all are different, why do you think that is, and is the drive to help something that is instinctual, or is it purely nurture?
It's an interesting question, because I think you would say it's nurture. At least I would think it's mostly nurture, but I think it's also, you know, a moral compass that you develop at a young age.
Hmm.
And I think, you know, you talk to a lot of people who find that moral compass through religion. You find people who find that moral compass through, you know, the way they were raised, and even if religion wasn't involved. But I think that's developed at a really young age.
Mm.
And vice versa, if it's not developed at a young age, or if it's, you know, maybe a bad moral compass, if you had bad role models growing up, I think that sticks with you unless you make a, you know, a big effort to change it.
What would... this is just pure curiosity. What would that big effort look like if someone were to be like, I am ready to change, like perhaps You know, you hear stories about people who are in bad living situations growing up and were taught, like, fight fire with fire. You have mm-hmm. to step on people to get ahead, like, very much that mentality. But you also have people who go against that and say, mm-hmm. like, I want to be better than that. What do you think that is that pushes someone towards that? Is it just someone stumbling across podcasts like this? When you know better, you do better?
Mm-hmm.
Or...
I think it has to come, and it could, you know...
Not to say, like, this podcast. Yeah, no, it could, not to be...
No, it definitely
self-congratulatory, but...
I can see it, and I think it has to be a personal, something that hits you personally. Mm-hmm. And that it would have to be something, you know, pretty mind-opening if that's so ingrained in you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have any, you know, examples that I can think of off the top of my head, but in similar situations, I think it's something that, you know, you really have to look in a mirror and you really have to examine your life and think about things differently.
Mm.
You have to adjust your... There's a word for it. It's address your paradigm.
Mm.
And so I think the paradigm is pretty equal to the backdrop we're talking about, the moral compass.
Yeah.
And then it's the way you view everything
right.
in the world. So if you have a paradigm where you view the world cynically, negatively, your actions will reflect that. And it's easy to judge people and to
yeah.
criticize them without really truly knowing their paradigm, but kind of a tangent to, in order to change that, it does take a big effort.
Paradigm shift.
Paradigm
right?
shift. Yeah, exactly.
Like, the phrase comes from that. No, I yeah. love that, because I've never really thought of that in, like, the singular phrase paradigm, but that is exactly what it is. And I was actually talking about this earlier today, in that it's so easy to judge someone when you don't know them,
mm-hmm.
but you listen to someone's story and it's almost impossible not to have empathy for them. Like,
yeah.
there's the Call Her Daddy podcast, which I don't listen to regularly, but I do find a lot of the episodes very interesting, especially I think Alex Cooper has gotten to be a very good interviewer over time. And she has so many guests on that I'm like, not a fan of this person, and then I listen to it and I'm like, I'm a fan now.
Yeah.
Like, that I know who they are, I understand them. And yeah, so I disagree so much with what you're saying about, like, you don't know what someone's going through,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know their paradigm, you don't
no.
know their worldview, you don't know what's gone into that and informed that, and how their moral compass has informed that, or, like, what pieces of the pie are there. Without
That's right, yeah.
digging deeper.
Yeah, and it's, you know, candidly, it's very easy to make those judgments without
yeah.
fully knowing. And I think on the other side, it does take some, you know, discipline to recognize when you're judging prematurely, I guess. And,
totally.
Well,
and not wanting people to treat you like it
yeah,
also
yeah,
even
yeah.
goes back to the golden rule of, like, treat others the way you want to be treated.
Exactly.
I think I also want to ask, kind of to return to this question of why there's this huge motivation for serving other people and helping
mm-hmm.
other people being, like, the thing that always comes up in these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
How would you define meaning and, like, living a meaningful life?
Mm-hmm.
It's the big question,
and
but feel
you
free
know,
to talk
I
around
wish,
it until we get
I
there.
I wish there was just a one-word answer,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
one-sentence answer, but I think it varies for who you are. I think the reason that comes up in so many of your conversations is probably because that's one of the top ones that people find meaning is by helping others.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, there's people out there who that's not necessarily the case, but
yeah.
Depends on your paradigm, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but I think it's for a couple of reasons. I mean, helping people, it gives you, you know, peace of mind, and I think leaving the world better than when you came here is something everyone can get behind, and so
yeah,
I think that would be a big part of it.
I love that. Couple Quick fire questions. That's not the word for it. What do you call them? Is it quick fire?
I think it's quick fire.
Is that
Rapid fire.
Rapid fire. That's what I'm looking for. Rapid fire questions. They're rapid fire questions. They may not have rapid fire answers. That's okay. What do you think happens when we die?
I think we go to heaven.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can I ask?
Yes.
Are you Christian?
I'm Christian, yes.
Okay, talk to me about that.
Sure. I guess more specifically, I was raised Catholic, but over the last 6 or so years, I've kind of taken a more broad belief to it. I don't know how, you know, familiar you are with Catholicism or any of the denominations, but, you know, there's, in my opinion, they're way too angry at each other when they're essentially believing the same thing. But, yeah, it's something, you know, that I was raised with. I went to a Catholic school for 9 years growing up, and so that kind of set the foundation. And it's something I carry with me to this day.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, it brings a sense of comfort knowing that, you know, there's more out there.
Why do you think the broad truly come from this, like, there's this broader umbrella of just, like, Christian belief that is, like, that's, we don't need to be nitpicky with it? Is that where that kind of came from for you? Or is there another, like, element to, like, maybe this curiosity piece within religion that broadened that approach?
Yeah, I would say it's, to your first point, it's being nitpicky.
Yeah.
I think you lose sight of the big picture when you get so wrapped up in the details.
Mm.
And I do think that's happened in a lot of the denominations we see. And even own denominations are splitting into two. I think that happened with Methodist. And so I think, with that, you lose sight of the bigger picture. And I think if you could boil Christianity down to one thing, it's, you know, Jesus Christ, and that's the common factor across all denominations.
Yeah.
And so I think people really focus on the wrong thing a little too much when they get into Christianity.
I was going to ask you what the bigger picture is, and then you wouldn't have had it answered it, so that's perfect. So when you say, I love that I said we're going to do rapid fire questions, then I have all of these follow-ups.
Yeah.
But there are other ones that we'll get to. When you say Jesus is the common denominator, obviously, historically, that is the common denominator that differentiates Christianity from
any other monotheistic religion.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. What does that figure archetype mean to you? Because I think, of course, there's the, well, you walk in the steps of Jesus, you try and model your life after him. That's very much the teachings of Christianity. But what does that archetype figure, is it something like that? Are there other things? What does that mean to you?
That's a very good question. That's, I'm sure, been asked thousands and thousands of times. Yeah. I'm not sure if I have the answer either. To me, specifically, it's a sense of comfort from belief. I mean, yeah, this whole conversation started with what happens after you die. I think that's a huge reason that a lot of people find so much comfort in religion, because that's one of, you know, the biggest mysteries that we have, and having an answer for that is obviously a very comforting thing. But I think it's also just daily life. You know, life can be hard, life can be stressful, and everyone's dealing with their own, you know, situation. So having something to look to, having someone, you know, a savior that, you know, is bigger than yourself and that you can put your trust in and put your problems in, so to speak, that helps a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Truly. Well, and to be able to offload, right?
Yeah.
It's like you don't have to juggle things in your own mind.
No, exactly.
Much, which is very helpful. And I think that that is something that, like, just religion as a whole offers to people, right? And I think even for me, I would probably identify at this point as like agnostic, but not in the I don't know, just in the I believe in a God, in a higher power. But in organized religion, I haven't found one that is like a perfect fit for me. But I think that even in having that belief, like you said, in something bigger than myself, in being a piece of a bigger whole, in the interconnectedness of me to fellow humans, believing in something bigger than myself, does offer me that. Like, I totally relate to what you're saying of this. I'm not on my own, even when you're alone. There's a difference between being alone and loneliness. And a lot of that, like, it's so funny. So I was raised Christian. And almost no one, me and my parents have all had kind of our own journeys with religion, but faith has always been a really big part of whatever that is. And I think that faith gets, like you say faith and people automatically think like traditional faith, right? And I'm like, but faith is just such a good word in general, right? Because it offers all of these beautiful things like you're talking about. So I don't know. I really appreciate that insight. And I think being a part of something bigger than oneself, there's something about that that's connected to serving other people too. Like knowing that you are not the center of everything also gives you perspective enough to be able to appreciate others.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, if you don't and you don't have a community, I think, you know, a lot of ego is driven by that. If you just think of yourself in every way. And I think to your point, yeah, having a community where you care for each other and you support each other, that's a huge driver for you know, churches, religion.
Oh, so that it's like the number, that's
100%. And you know, one other thing too is prayer.
Yeah.
Which I don't think that's exclusive to Christianity or religion in general.
Right.
It's something that, you know, after a long day or in the morning, it's a very grounding thing to do. I try and do it as much as possible. And that, even if you're not, you know, praying to anyone, just having a moment by yourself and just grounding and taking a step back from all of life's, you know, fun problems.
All the really fun issues that we deal with.
Yeah.
But no, I think that's it, the grounding is such a good word. And also, like, just, I'm such a language person that I feel like I just point out words that people use. But I love the choice of words because I feel like it reveals so much insight. But you having this background in nature and exploration and, like, the physicality of that as being a part of your upbringing and the feeling of roots and grounding, it's all of those things just feel very fundamental to, like, the energy that you bring.
Yeah.
And so it's just very much that peaceful presence. But I think that's also very much what higher power offers people and what religion offers people is that sense of safety, comfort, belonging.
Yeah.
And I think that's really beautiful.
And, you know, one other thing to add to that,
please,
just on the flip side, it's not, at least for me, it's not usually either a one and done type thing.
Yeah.
It's something you're constantly working on. Kind of like what I said earlier, I'm someone who loves the tangibility of things and I love to pick something up and hold it. And that's why I know it. And so that's something that you don't get with you know, a religion or you know, belief system.
Because
it does take a leap of faith. And
totally.
If anything, though, I think that's good that it's not one and done. Because then you start asking questions. You start learning more about both, you know, the belief system, but also about yourself. And
It encourages that curiosity.
Yeah, and there you go, the curiosity.
Also, the leap of faith is also uncomfortable, which is the discomfort that pushes you to do more, right?
Yeah, like, full circle.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's all connected. Thank you for sharing that. It's vulnerable to talk about those things, but I think it's important.
It is.
So thank you. Next rapid fire question.
Yeah, the next one. We're number one done.
Yeah. Aliens.
What's the question? just
believe in them. No,
believe in them. So you're unlocking my other very niche interest, which is astronomy and aliens. I love astronomy.
I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
But not okay.
Aliens.
Not astrology though.
Astrology, not as much. No.
You probably like the hard science side of like constellation,
right.
Star, solar system. Okay.
That's
beautiful.
Right. Yeah.
Want to make sure I'm clear.
Yes. Yeah.
Please continue.
To answer your question, yes, I think there is. There has to be life out there. Just looking at numbers alone, you know, we're on a small grain of sand.
The statistical likelihood of something else living.
Yes.
It's
pretty much guaranteed.
Right.
I think the only other question you would ask is, okay, so if something's out there, you know, do they exist simultaneously with us? Or
yeah.
You know, there could have been something that was around, you know, a billion years ago, but they just got wiped out. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think if there was something, and it's probably not going to line up with where we are right now. But I think there has to be. I
tend to agree with you, but yeah. I just think it's interesting. Ghosts.
Okay, yeah. So you've already heard my stories about the...
Oh my gosh, I have. Okay, yeah.
Yes, to those, so...
Okay, so for our listeners, Tommy's mm-hmm. apartment is haunted.
It is, yeah, without a doubt. Even if you don't, you know, believe in that kind of stuff, it's...
Your brother would be having to play the most insane practical joke on you for it not to be...
Oh, yeah.
Like, legitimized. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was, like, one circumstance where a broom, like, lifted up and, like, slammed across the room into a wall, right?
Yes, yes. It was a broom and, you know, I'm not some crazy conspiracy
theorist. No,
yeah. You know, I just, and that's why I would just calm at the time being.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was midnight. I got out of my bed to go to the thermostat to turn it down. And the broom that was against the wall slid across the wall and, you know, into the living room. And so that was odd. But what made it weirder was that I heard footsteps walking around. And so my girlfriend was in my bedroom at the time, Holly, and she heard footsteps as well. And so I thought I was just in my mind. I was like, I'm tired. It's whatever.
Yeah, I'm being, yeah.
And then she was like, were you walking right over there? Because I have two doors to my bedroom.
Yeah.
I came into one. And I said, no, I wasn't. I was right here.
I did hear something there.
I don't think either of us slept at night.
Yeah.
That was...
Nope. Absolutely not. So these, I don't know if you call them paranormal experiences. I don't know what you like to title them as. But mm-hmm. these experiences, do you find, because I also think ghosts in the context of religion is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have a lot of religious people who are like, well, of course there's ghosts. There's an afterlife. Like, it's souls. Like, we believe in souls and they've passed on. But then you have other religious people who are like, absolutely not. No such thing as ghosts. All beings who have passed on are either in heaven or hell.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, you have people who believe in purgatory. Are ghosts in purgatory, right? Like, what is the lore mm-hmm. or belief system that upholds that? Before these experiences, did you have a belief system about ghosts? Had you just not thought about it? And then did these experiences affirm that or change your belief system? Or had you just, like, not thought about it? And it's like, oh, now I have this
now that's
to think
part
about.
Of my life. Yeah. No, I think that is a fundamental, you know, strife that you have between religion and ghosts, because it's not supported by religion per se, and because of what you said, because there's a heaven and hell,
right?
There's nowhere in the Bible where it says, you know, there's ghosts on earth.
Yeah it's yeah. not so and, how do you contend with that?
And it's you can't really. I mean,
yeah,
it's weird. It's one of those things where, you know, there's a chance that they're not real, and maybe just a coincidence that happened. But, you know, you hear enough stories, and, you know, I've spoken to a lot of people about this. You know, my own family, my mom, you know, has seen similar things. And
interesting.
Both my parents have, but it's also more on a personal level, too. Like,
yeah.
I like to use the term spirits rather than ghosts, because it's more personal, and I think, you know, you can have, you know, maybe a family member visit you. I've heard stories about that. where they show up in your bedroom when you're asleep, you know.
Yeah.
They're not haunting you or anything. Yeah. So I think putting that lens on it makes it a little easier to
totally
to balance both that and religion.
I completely agree. And I think that there is this like haunted housiness to ghosts that makes it feel much less real and much mm-hmm. more like, oh, you believe in that. But when you think about it as like, not everyone believes in a soul or mind or spark or whatever you want to call that spirit of the human being. I think a lot of people do. I think even a lot of atheists have a sense of, I am more than just my body. But mm-hmm. science hasn't really caught up to what is that? How does something intangible interact with something tangible? We don't really know. But I think all of us have that experience of like, what is that itness that is me? And we were talking about my grandma right before this.
Yeah.
One of my only paranormal experiences I've had was the night of her passing. I had a dream about her and she like came and talked to me for a bit and sat with me and I didn't think anything of it. It was just like, whatever. Woke up the next day, was getting ready for whatever I was supposed to do that day, like normal, until my dad came and told me the news. And it was like, well, now that seems, that timing's very interesting, right? Mm-hmm. That this is like something that's happening. And there is something that does make that much more personal. And instead of like this heebie-jeebie spooky ooky, even though it is like very like jarring yeah. when it happens, but
I think it also brings a level of comfort.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the experience you had, but
yeah.
it brings closure in yeah. many cases. And I think, you know, good intentions with those kind of experiences and whatever spirits there are.
Right.
I don't know what the good intention was. It was throwing a broom across my living room. But
reminding you need to sweep, maybe.
Yeah, maybe, that, maybe it was a little too dusty.
Yeah. yeah.
Which, I don't doubt that.
Yeah. Goodness. That's one of my normal rapid fire questions, and I forgot that we've literally had conversations about that before. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a great time.
My final two questions as we're rounding out the end of the podcast. One, in light of our conversation and everything we've chatted about and haven't chatted about, is there anything that you want to return to? Anything you want to add? Anything you want to clarify, or anything that we just have not talked about that you're like, I got to talk about this. I want to throw this out there. This is space for any of that.
Yeah. I guess the only thing I would add, kind of back to our point about, you know, prayer and grounding, mm-hmm. we didn't really touch on, you know, the mental health benefits, which I think is very important. I think that's, you know, a big crisis in today is mental health. I think there's could be a variety of reasons for that.
Sure.
But, you know, it is a crisis regardless. And so I think, you know, having a system in place, and whether that's, you know, finding value through helping others, or if that's pushing your boundaries to find some sort of meaning, having something like that, a good support system is, you know, I think probably the best way that you can keep your mental health up and keep your physical health up. And I think that's the last, you know, leg of this whole, you know, circle, is just, you know, having all those aspects in place so that you can, you know, be the best version of yourself possible and live a fulfilling and peaceful life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for adding that. I completely agree. And I think that it is a crisis and absolutely something that should be a part of the conversation. So
yeah.
Thank you.
You know, remove the stigma, because I think it is.
Yeah.
It's very easy to not want to talk about that. And
true.
Yeah.
Well, and even if someone, I've been in therapy for 13 years, and it's like, mm-hmm. even like now saying that, it's like, mm-hmm. how is someone going to react? It's like, just throwing it out there is so important. So thank you.
Yeah, of course. And yet, you know, and just one more thought on it.
Yeah,
you,
please. You've never,
it's saddening to see, you know, the people it affects that you never would have guessed.
Yeah.
You know, people that take their lives, and you're just left wondering, you know, why, you know, them of all people would do that.
Yeah.
And so that's just, I guess goes back to just treat everyone with kindness, and
yeah,
you just really never know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, truly, the full circles in this episode really have been profound in the, you don't know someone's story,
mm-hmm.
get curious about it, right?
Yeah.
Don't pass judgment, but be kind to yourself in making meaning that way, like be kind to others, right?
And it's, yeah.
It feels so basic, but it very much is the golden rule. And when we were talking about your religious background and belief system, you know, the big picture is Jesus and walk like Jesus. And the thing that I've always drawn from Christianity as really beautiful is the core teaching of love one another as yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like that is truly just sacred simplicity.
That's right.
Right.
And even if you don't, you know, truly follow the religion, I think just what it teaches is very good.
There's absolutely lots to learn there.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Last question to kind of tie a bow on the conversation is, what is one word to describe how you're feeling right now?
Right now? Content, I would say.
Good.
Yeah. This is a great conversation. I really enjoyed the conversation. I feel honored that I was able to open up the new season.
I'm honored that you shared all of this with me and this medium and platform. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And I'm glad it's nice to be able to talk about things openly, and it's refreshing.
I'm so glad. And it's like the deepest pleasure ever. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Reese.
Thank you all so much for joining me in today's episode, and a huge thanks to Tommy for his time, energy, true vulnerability, and willingness is the word I'm looking for in this moment, in this episode. I think all of us know the anxiousness and nerves that come along with a camera being on, a mic being on, and Tommy looked that in the face and said, but I'm excited to do this, and showed up and had this beautiful conversation with me, and I'm really thankful that he did. I think this is a really important conversation and a well-rounded one, so thank you, Tommy. If this is your first time here at the Cohere Collective, welcome so much. We're so glad that you're here. If you'd like to learn more about the Cohere Collective, you can do so over at www.thecoherecollective.com. I am now also offering life coaching, so if you are interested in finding and pursuing your purpose, head on over to the very same website and you can learn more about life coaching there. You can find the Cohere Collective on just about any social media platform, all at the Cohere Collective, and you can find me on Instagram at Lillian Reese Brown, and you can find Tommy on Instagram at Probably Tommy. A huge thank you to Nicole Ostreicher for making Meaning's art and podcast cover. You can find her on Instagram at Nicole O Creates or Nicole O Design, and a big thank you to Tristan Morgan for making Meaning's theme music. You can find him on Instagram at Tristan Morgan. Right now, I am feeling warm, both physically and emotionally. You're probably noticing that I have a different backdrop behind me. I have just recently moved, and I'm really excited to be in this new place. It's making me get the warm fuzzies being around family and friends again. And this room gets warmer than my other bedroom did, so I'm physically a little warm right now. Thank you so much for being here, for being a part of the collective, and as always, I hope you feel like you are living more coherently. Until next time, love.